And I'm going to share a message with you about following the shepherd. And it's a very important message because this is something that's integral to our lives every day. And the Psalms are such a precious collection of writings. Not only do they reveal much to us about God, but they reveal much to us about worship. They reveal much to us about ourselves. And it also, in many instances, gives us a pathway to victory when difficulty comes. And so we're going to share some good things with you today. Now, notice the 23rd Psalm. We'll start with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Notice verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this psalm is a favorite of many and is often quoted, especially at certain religious ceremonies. But do we really understand the import of what the psalmist was trying to get over to us? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a revelation just in those first few words. That word want in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word kosher. And it literally means I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. But notice that it is predicated on one important fact. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, if we're going to experience that no lack, no want, no failure, then we have to learn how to follow the shepherd. The job of a shepherd is to lead his flock. Now, notice there are two expressions in that psalm. He leads me beside the still waters. That literally means waters of quietness. Then he also says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, here's something that you have to realize. In order for you to be led, you must be willing to follow. In order for you to be led, you must be willing to follow. I always say this, and this is something that the Holy Spirit gave me the first time I taught this series. Great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Now, when we talk about the shepherd, we think of many things. We think of the pastor. Well, in a sense, a pastor is an under-shepherd. One thing that I realized when I don't know if I ever told you about this, but my intent when I was in Bible college was not to go into pastoral ministry. Pastor was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel and teach because I knew I could do that pretty good. Pastor, people, Most of the pastors that I knew struggled, failed, and were miserable. I thought, that ain't me, Jack. And so, after completing 1 year of Bible college, you know, a lot of my friends went out into ministries, got on staff at big churches, and did all kind of great things, and the Lord was leading me to go back for another year. And so I thought I'd go into the teacher's class. And the Lord impressed upon me to go into the pastor's class. I'm like, oh, no way, Jack. I don't want to do that. But I had a strong impression. I knew on the inside of me what I was supposed to do. And so I reasoned and figured this. Oh, I know why God wants me to get into the pastor's class. That's so when I get out into traveling ministry, I can relate better with these guys and connect with them and understand their perspective. No, that wasn't it. He wanted me to be a pastor. And so one thing that I realized as a pastor is that I am not the ultimate shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. The sheep don't belong to me. They belong to him. And when you realize that they belong to Him and not you, then you'll keep your head on straight. Can I get an amen somewhere? Okay. Now, see, you need to watch what you do with somebody else's sheep. If you think they're yours, you can abuse them and not feel bad about it. But when you know that they're His, now you have a different perspective. See, when you're a steward over something that belongs to somebody else, you watch your step. You're a little more careful. All right? And so that's the approach that I endeavor to take. Now, I want you to see something about the ministry of the shepherd. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Now, I'm leading you someplace. I want you to follow along with me. John chapter 10. We're talking about following the shepherd. Well, let's find out a little bit about the shepherd. John chapter 10. Okay, if you got it, say, I got it. All right, follow along with me. We'll start with verse 1. Jesus is speaking. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, notice this, and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, notice this, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand the things which he was saying to them. Then said Jesus unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, there's one thing that I understood many, many years ago. As I said earlier, the sheep don't belong to me, they belong to him. And he paid a dear price for them. That means you. He poured out his life for you. So as an under-shepherd, I must exercise the most extreme caution and care because the sheep don't belong to me, they belong to him, and he paid a very dear price for them. Now, that's not my message today. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus is the great shepherd. And he said again that he leads his sheep, they know his voice, and he calls them by name. Now, he said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. There again, you see that principle of provision. But we see an Old Testament type in that 23rd Psalm of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. But if we're going to follow the shepherd, we must be willing to follow him. If we're going to be led, we must be willing to follow. Now, here's the question that I pose to you this morning. If he is the great shepherd and we are the sheep, how does he lead us? How does he lead? That's what I'm going to share with you today. How does he lead? Because the 23rd Psalm is a wonderful, fabulous picture of the provision that awaits us because of the redemptive work of Christ. But we must understand how he leads. You want to find that out this morning? Yes. Amen. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're talking about following the shepherd. We know that the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand how he leads today. Now, what I'm actually doing is I'm giving you a flavor of what we do on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we have a Bible study called Word Power. Now, on Wednesday night, it's a little less formal. You know, I take questions and answers, and we move along at a good pace as long as everybody gets it. Are you with me? Now, for some of you, you may have heard this message before. That doesn't mean you got it. And even if you did hear it, it's still good. You know, one time I remember I had an attitude. I was sitting in a church service. I forget who was ministering. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I heard this before. But, you know, I needed to hear it again. You know, I remember I had T-bone steak one time with hot mashed potatoes. It tastes good. That's not going to do me any good today. If I want some T-bone, I'm going to have it again. You with me? The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just because you heard it once doesn't mean you got it down pat, Jack, you're ready to go. Well, if anything, I may stir your minds to remembrance this morning and help you to remember some things that will help you. Notice Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 105. It's a long, long psalm. But there's one passage, one part of this psalm that is very revealing. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now here the psalmist is talking about leadership, guidance, and direction. And he says, "Thy word, O Lord, is a light or a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Now the word here in Hebrew is a funny little word, near. And it simply means to be a candle. It's translated candle. It's translated lamp. And it also just plainly means light. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, as I walk this course of life, in order for me to be led the right way, then I have to look to your word, because your word gives me illumination. It shows me which way to go. It shows me where to step. It shows me what to avoid. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I don't like walking around in the dark. Bad things happen when you walk in the dark. The other day, I was downstairs in the spare bedroom. We got a spare bedroom off the family room, and we just got some new furniture for Sarah because I had a flood down there. Long story. But anyway, you know, the people came in, they brought the bed in, they put it all together, did all the stuff. I had to move some stuff around. And for a brief moment, I turned the light out. And when I turned the light out, wouldn't you know, I stubbed my toe. Kicked something. It was there all the time. I just didn't see it. And I'm telling you, it smarted. It did not feel good. And, you know, what do you do when you stub your toe? You just deal with it because it hurts. Then you get the lights on. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like stubbing my toe. It's a very unpleasant experience. But many times, as Christians in life, we end up not only stubbing our toe, but banging our head against the wall because we're simply not turning on the light of God's Word. Amen. God's Word is designed to illuminate our path so that we can see which way to go. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The other day I bought some stuff for my office. If y'all haven't seen my office yet, I'm telling you, it's looking good. For a while there, I had a bunch of boxes piled up and stuff, and you know, I'm not one to decorate. Peggy always did all that stuff, but I think some of her decorating skills rubbed off on me. So I did my best with it, and I asked Priscilla, come here, look in my office. What do you think? She went in there, she started hollering, "Woo, this is woo!" I said, "All right, we did okay." Well, one of the things that I put in my office was a flashlight. I got a flashlight in my desk drawer. Why in the world would I need a flashlight in my desk drawer? How many of you know sometimes the lights go out? All right? Sometimes the lights go out, and I don't want to be fumbling around, trying to find the door, I'm going to illuminate my path. There's an old expression that I always use in the secular setting, trying to get guys to do things smartly. And it's this, work smarter, not harder. Be prepared for emergencies. What do you do at home when the lights go out? You ought to at least know where your flashlight is. You with me? Peg was into candles. Candles are all right, but candles fall over and start fires, you know. But I'd rather do flashlights. And I remember one time we had a power outage that lasted 3 days. I went down to Walmart, bought all these fancy flashlights and lanterns and all this stuff. And wouldn't you know, I was going to get in my car and I left the bag outside the car and I drove off and it fell off. And I'm like, I wasted $30 because all the stuff ended up on the ground. So I went back to Walmart. I'm driving through the parking lot trying to find my stuff. That was just crazy. See, but if I'd been prepared for emergencies and had a flashlight like I do now, in the right place, I'd have been okay. All right, notice this. This is important. If we're going to follow the shepherd, then we're going to have to follow the word. It's very important. Now, I want you to remember this. The primary way that the shepherd leads his sheep is through his word. The primary way that the shepherd leads his sheep is through his word. Now, let me show you this in a powerful example. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Talking about following the shepherd. We know the great shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. How does he lead his sheep today? Well, primarily through the word. Notice Luke chapter 10. And we'll begin with verse 25. Luke chapter 10. Beginning with verse 25. Just follow along with me. Notice what it says. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you know when a lawyer stands up and his motive is not good, you better watch out. Of course, every lawyer's not that smart. I've dealt with some who weren't that smart. But anyway, this guy, his intent was to try to trap Jesus with his words. But I want you to notice what happened. Verse 25, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What's written in the law? How readest thou? Now, in modern English, he's simply saying, What does the word of God say? How do you read it? And he answering said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he, that's Jesus, said to him, You've answered correctly, do this and you'll live. Now, I just love the way Jesus does things. He asked this lawyer a very pointed question. What does the word say? He said, Well, the word says, love God, love, you know, your neighbor. And Jesus said, Great, do it, and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself. And so Jesus told him a story about what we commonly refer to as the Good Samaritan. And then Jesus asked him a question at the end of this story. He said, Who now do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, Do that and you'll live, or go and do the same thing. And so you'll find that even in his earthly ministry, Jesus pointed people to the written word. What does the word say? Now, we're in Luke chapter 10. Back up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're talking about following the shepherd. The primary way that the shepherd leads his sheep is through his word. Luke chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 46, Luke 6:46. Now, notice what it says. Jesus is speaking again. Notice what he said. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now, there's a lot in this story that Jesus teaches. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. Jesus said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but yet don't do what I say? Now think about that statement for a moment. Remember the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, the word Lord in its simple form simply means owner. And so Jesus is saying to these people, Why do you call me the owner, but you don't do what I say? Can you see this? I will show you what a person is like who not only hears my word, but does my word. I remember many, many years ago, I had a guy come to me for some counsel. And he'd been referred by somebody else. They said, go talk to Bill Young, maybe he can help you. And so the guy came, and I met with him, and he explained his situation to me. And so I went to God's word, and I started telling him what the scripture says about his situation. Now, I love this man. He was never a part of our church, but he was referred by somebody else. So I'm sharing with him what the scripture says, and I could tell immediately I had a problem. Because he started shifting in his seat. You know, got very uncomfortable. And I could tell by the expression on his face, he got perturbed at me. I'm just sharing the word. And then all of a sudden, you know, he had some chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is? Guts, nerve, whatever you want to call it. So he spoke up and plainly said to me, wait a minute, that's what the other guy said. I said, what? He said, that's what the other guy told me. I said, well, that is what God's word says. You know, I'm kind of happy because we're on the same page. And then he said this to me. He said, I don't want to hear that. I said, excuse me? He said, I don't want to hear that. I said, well, if you didn't want to hear that, what did you come to me for? He said this to me. So, well, I was hoping you would give me a word from the Lord and tell me something else. I said, I'm sorry, my friend. I did give you a word from the Lord. I said, but you want me to prophesy something? Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that. I heard that from the other guy. I said, I'm sorry. That's all I got. That's all I got. He didn't want to follow and obey God's word. He wanted to hear something different. So he expected me to prophesy to him and give him something other than what God's word says. Well, that's a very dangerous thing to do. And I wouldn't do it. And so he didn't want to talk to me anymore, which was fine. I got better things to do with my time than talk to nuts. Are you with me? So he didn't want to hear what God's word had to say because he didn't want to do it. Are you with me? He didn't want to do it. Now, turn with me in your Bibles. You're in Luke chapter 7. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're talking about following the shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd, and if we're going to be led by him, then we must be willing to follow. That means we have to know how he leads us today. The primary way he leads us is through the written word. James chapter 1. And let's start with verse 22. James chapter 1. And we'll read a few verses. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Notice verse 22. James said this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Or, as one translation says, deluding your own selves. Same thing that Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 6. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? The simple point is this, if he's really the Lord, and he's really the owner, and he tells you to do something, it would behoove you to obey. Or you could say it like this, if he is the great shepherd and he's leading you, you would be smart to follow him. See, we all want the great provision that Psalm 23 reveals to us. But the way you experience that great provision is by following the shepherd. And he leads us primarily through the word. So James says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or a mirror, and he beholds himself, and then goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So where is the blessing? It's not in the hearing. The blessing is in the doing. I said, where is the hearing? Where is the blessing, that is? It's not in the hearing. It's in the doing. And so if we're going to follow the shepherd, we must be led by His Word. So that simply means if God's Word tells us to not do certain things, then we don't do them. Are you with me? Or if the Scripture tells us to do certain things, then we do them. There's no need to pray about it. There's no need to call the pastor and say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." I'll talk to you. That's fine. But you know where I'm going to point you. Okay? There's no need to get together in your prayer group and say, "Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do," when God's Word plainly tells you what you should do. And when you don't do it, don't expect the blessing to show up in your life. Are you with me? Now, God is gracious. He's wonderful. He'll meet you where you are. But once you understand something, you have responsibility. Okay? You have responsibility. And so we need to just obey what the Word says. Are you with me? Now, I will tell you this. I'll be honest with you. There are some people who, for whatever reason, like to obey when it's convenient. Okay? And when everybody's watching, we'll be cool. We'll follow the shepherd while everybody's well. But when they ain't watching, all right, whole nother ball game. When they ain't watching. Now, I'm going to share some personal things with you that I don't talk to everybody about. But these are things that I need to talk to you about so that you understand how to apply these principles in your life, okay? But I remember many years ago I was sharing with somebody that my wife and I have a good friend, and her name, and I'll say her name because she's a precious woman. Her name's a tongue twister. Her name is Gleetha Glispie. And Gleetha was our singles minister in our church in St. Louis. I was the associate pastor. She's our singles minister. And I may have talked about Gleetha before. And the only reason I'm mentioning her was she was just honored in Chicago as a who's who in the business world in Chicago. Gleetha is now the director of diversity. She's a corporate executive with Walgreens Corporation. And when I knew her, she was a twice divorced mother of a teenager and a young girl and looking to find stability in her life with God. And she found a church home that she could connect with and that she could grow in and could express the gifts and graces that God had placed in her. She was a sales rep for a tobacco company. She sold cigarettes. She didn't like selling cigarettes. And so she wanted to get away from the tobacco industry, and it just so happens that the company that I worked for had an opening. I worked for a pharmaceutical company, and so I got her an interview, and she got the job at Warner Lambert. And so she had a different territory than I did. I had half of St. Louis, six counties in southern Illinois. She had Washington County, some of the rural areas. But we were reps for the same company in the same district. Now, precious friends. She and my wife were great friends. She and I were great friends. But as part of this job, we had to travel a lot. I was fortunate in that I went home every night. My territory was kind of concentrated. I didn't like staying in podunk hotels down in Red Bud, Illinois, you know. I didn't want to do that. So I laid out my territory, so I went home every night. Now, there were times I couldn't go home at night because we had to fly to Memphis, Chicago, L.A., Dallas. We flew all over the country for meetings and product introductions and all of these things. Gleetha is a good friend, all right? I'm a married man, and here I am flying to Denver with Gleetha Glispie and all the other reps, you know. And we made our own flight arrangements. We didn't all, you know, like get on a bus and go someplace. We had to make our own arrangements. Company reimbursed us. So I remember flying to Denver with Gleetha Glispie. I mean, we're in the same church together. She's a friend of my wife's, but we had a lot of off time. So what do you do in the off time? Listen to me, guys, when nobody's looking. What do you do in the off time when nobody's looking? Well, if you're going to be led by the shepherd, then you'll do what the Word says. And the Word says, don't even let the appearance of evil show up. You with me? And so, you know, Gleetha would want to have dinner. Well, I'd have dinner with her in the hotel restaurant. But if we left the hotel, we either went in a group or I wasn't going. Y'all with me? He said, "Oh, Pastor Bill, you stuck, man. You need to loosen up." No, I'm telling you, this is how you live a victorious life. I'm getting somewhere, and you're going to like where I'm going. Okay? And so you just do what the Word says. All right? We do things together as a group. Guess what? All the times that I traveled throughout the country, and Gleetha was with me on the same plane, and we stayed in the hotel, I never once went to her room. Not once. All the time we did all that traveling and visited all, and we stayed in some nice places. We wasn't staying in no podunk Holiday Inn. We stayed at the Hyatt. We stayed in nice places. She never once came to my room. But she's a friend. Yeah, I know. That's how you get in trouble. Are you with me? That's how you get in trouble. I remember one time we flew to Denver. And, you know, as a group, we had dinner, we had our meetings, we did all the things. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of the reps would like to go out and party and visit clubs and do all that stuff. I didn't do that. I didn't hang out in bars. I didn't hang out in clubs. That's not conducive to Christian growth and maturity. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm just telling you what I did, okay? You ain't going to find me Saturday night at the Metroplex. I don't think so. Okay. I got one dear brother, Christian man. Deacon in a local church right here in Erie, Pennsylvania. Deacon. Everybody say deacon. I'm not going to call his name because he might hear this. Invited me to the casino. Bill, why don't you come to the casino and have dinner? I said, I ain't going. He said, come on, go to the casino. I said, I'm not going. I don't gamble. Well, you don't have to gamble. Just come to the restaurant and eat. I said, I avoid the very appearance of evil. I said, it don't look good for the pastor to be sitting up in the casino. Now, these are my own convictions, all right? You won't find anything in the Bible that says, thou shalt not casino. It's not in there. Are you with me? But there are principles you need to live by. I'm going somewhere. You follow me now, okay? So we're in Denver, Colorado. It's late at night. I forget what hotel we were staying at. We had our meetings. You know, the next day we're having some breakout meetings. Then we're going to fly back to St. Louis. And I get a call. It's Gleetha. It's about 11:30 p.m. She said, Bill, I need your help. I said, sure. What can I do for you? She said, I got to get to a drugstore. I said, okay. She says, I'm in distress. I got to get to a drugstore. Can you help me? I said, sure. What, you want me to call somebody? What do you want me to do? No, I need you to meet me in the lobby. I need you to take me to the drugstore. I said, come on. So I met her in the lobby, called her a cab. I said, Gleetha, see you later, baby. She said, well, aren't you riding with me? No. I'm not going to do that. I need you to go with me to the drugstore. You can get there. The cab will take you right to the front door. Just tell him to keep the meter running and don't leave. You go in, get your stuff, get back in the cab, come back to the hotel. I just didn't feel comfortable getting in that situation. So I didn't go. And she looked at me and she said, come on, I need your help. I said, you got my help. I got you a cab. Now go. Are y'all with me? Now that might seem like an extreme case to you, but that's just the way I live my life. All right, I'm going somewhere. Follow me. And so there were times she would come to our home. You know, Gleetha came to Erie one time. After Peg and I moved back here, she said, I'm going to come visit y'all. I said, come on, girl. So she did. I put her up at the Bel Air. She stayed at the Bel Air. And I'd go out to see her. Peg would say, take your son with you. I said, yes, ma'am. And I did. And me and DJ would go to Gleetha's hotel room and talk. I gave her the tour of the town, me, her, and my son. Are you with me? I said, Bill, that seems extreme, man. You need to loosen up. I'm going somewhere. Follow me. Okay? But I kept it clean. I kept it good. I avoided the very appearance of evil. Okay? Because Gleetha is not my wife. As good a friend as she is, she ain't Peggy. Okay? And if Peggy's not there, I need to protect myself. Listen, I'm born again, filled with the Spirit. I've been saved since 1968. But you will never get to the point in life where you can completely trust your flesh. My flesh has not been redeemed yet. My spirit's been born again. I'm alive unto God. I've renewed my mind with the Word of God, but I got to control this body. Y'all with me? And that's where people get into trouble. They don't control their body. But he's a Christian. Hey, you can be a 747 and still go down. Y'all with me? You can be a 747 and still go down. All right. Now, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. And I want to introduce this, and then we're going to wrap this up for today. Are you guys learning anything? And I won't leave you hanging. I'm going to finish my story, and we're going to go back to Psalm 23. But notice Proverbs chapter 20. Now, Jesus is the great shepherd. He leads us. He guides us. We need to know how to follow. The primary way that he leads us is through his written word. That's why it's important that we have a consistent diet of God's word. That's why it's important that you come to church and fellowship on Sunday. We're a little different than most churches here in town, in that we endeavor to teach God's word so it becomes easy for you to understand. All right? And that, in part, is what the anointing of a teacher is. He makes kingdom principles easy to understand so that they can be applied. Now, I could be a hooper and whip you up into a frenzy and get you feeling good when you leave here, and you can leave here as dumb as a rock. That's not me. All right? Listen, when you get to heaven, God is not going to ask you how you felt. Wasn't it good? Didn't you feel good going down to such and such church? Man, I'm telling you, that hooper, he can preach. No, he's going to ask you, what have you done with what I've given you? And if you don't understand kingdom principles and you can't apply these things, you'll never fulfill the will of God for your life. You'll go to heaven happy. Okay? But we need to be more than just happy. We need to know how to do these things. Now, the primary way he leads us is through his word. So that's why you need to take advantage of services like this. That's why you need to take advantage of Wednesday nights. That's why you need to get CDs. That's why you need to listen to the word on the internet. You know, the amazing thing is when these passages were written, especially like James, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Do you know, for the most part, most of those people didn't have New Testaments? The New Testament wasn't written yet. They had the Old Testament law, but they had letters written to the church. They didn't have a Bible like you do. Man, I'm telling you, we live in an age that is so great, I've got the Bible on my cell phone with 35 different translations. My cell phone. I mean, if you've got no excuse, not here in the United States of America today. Now, if you lived in the backwaters of Thailand, you might be able to say to the Lord, I didn't know. But not here in Erie, Pennsylvania. Are you with me? We have an advantage that is tremendous. Now, the Bible also teaches another principle. To whom much is given, much is required. And so we can't slough this off for somebody else. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Let me show you something. Notice the 27th verse. Proverbs 20, 27. Now, we've established that the primary way the shepherd leads the sheep is through his word. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Notice Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, the word candle is that same Hebrew word, near. And so here we see the second primary way that the Lord Jesus leads us. Notice it says the spirit of man. Everybody say spirit of man. Spirit. Notice what it does not say, the spirit of God. Notice what it does not say, the Holy Ghost. Notice what it does not say, the Holy Spirit. It says the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, we're going to expand on this next week, but I want you to realize this. The Bible does not address every situation specifically. But God will turn the light on in your spirit if you're born again and lead you and guide you. That's why it didn't get in that cab with Glitha Glispie. You with me? That's why I didn't get in that car. She's a friend. She's on staff. She knows my wife. Yeah, but I need to be led by the shepherd. Yeah. And so I set limits and boundaries, and there were certain things I wouldn't do. Now let's go back to Psalm 23. Y'all following me so far? You're really going to get this here in a minute. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We read it. We know it. But I'm going to show you something about this psalm that will bless you. Psalm 23. Let's look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, or waters of quietness. Yesterday I had a conversation with a man in my office, and he said some other people had asked him, "How's your pastor doing?" He said, "Well, my pastor's doing well." He said, "I'm amazed." And this is what this man shared with me. He said, "I don't know how he does it. I'm just shocked that he's holding up so well." And so and I get asked constantly, "How you doing? How you doing?" And I tell everybody the same thing. I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. I know a lot of people who've been through what I've been through would have quit, packed up, gone home. Not me. Now, the one thing that I've shared with a few people is simply this. I miss Peggy. She was my best friend. But you know I'm not all tore up about it. And you know why I'm not all tore up emotionally? It's simply this. There's nothing nagging me in the back of my brain saying, "You should have done this. You shouldn't have done that." See, I don't have anything nagging me in the back of my brain saying, "You should have told her you loved her more." Because you know what? I told her that every day. Every day. For 32 years. There's nothing nagging me in the back of my brain saying, "You know, brother, you should have been there more for her." I was there. Every day. Every day. For 32 years. There's nothing nagging me in the back of my brain saying, "Man, you shouldn't have stepped out on her like that. You shouldn't have cheated on her." Because I never did. You with me? I was faithful for 32 years. Listen to me. Because I followed the shepherd for 32 years, I am at a place right now where I'm partaking from waters of quietness. It's when you don't follow the shepherd that you end up in a place that is full of turmoil. You know, the Bible talks about tumultuous waters, how it digs up dirt and mire. It's a mess. You know, hey, we've all been there. Are you with me? But in this place, I'm not telling you I was a perfect husband. Nobody's perfect. But I did the right thing. And because I followed the shepherd and did the right thing, right now I'm at a place of peace. Can you all identify with this? It's all good. See, I can call Gleetha Glispie in Chicago and we can talk for an hour and have a good old time. Because I got no regrets. I didn't do anything I shouldn't have done. I didn't say anything I shouldn't have said. Why? I followed the shepherd. Y'all with me? When you follow the shepherd, great provision is waiting for you. I don't know about you, but I like great provision. I love great provision because it's a good place to be at. See, green pastures, quiet waters, that's nice stuff. That's nice stuff. And so people are inquiring, how in the world is Bill Young hanging out by the quiet water? Why in the world is he partaking of that nice green grass? Because I'm following the shepherd. Amen? You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Now, some of you might think, "Well, you know, I haven't followed very well." Well, you can start now. You with me? You can start now. You know, the great thing about being led is that you can always make a course adjustment or a correction. I've got navigation. Navigation in my vehicle didn't work well the other day, but I've got nav in my truck. I remember years ago, three of us, Garland was with us, Garland, I, and Courtney Gibson went to Philadelphia for Pastor Martin. They had an anniversary celebration, and you know, and Gar and Courtney used to live in Philly. And so we're at the hotel trying to figure out how to get to where we're supposed to go. And so we got it all planned based on what we knew. Well, we're going to get on the turnpike, and we're going to go down here. We got on the turnpike. There was a traffic accident. Traffic was backed up. We got there late. But we got there. And so we enjoyed the celebration that we were a part of up to that, you know, what was left of it. Then on the way back to the hotel, I had a brilliant idea. Why don't you use your nav? So I plugged in the hotel and hit the navigation button, and we started driving. We didn't go back the same way we came. The navigation was smarter than that. And so it directed us through all these back streets, and as we're going through these back streets, Garland and Courtney are, oh, I remember that. Yeah, well, yeah, I remember that. As we're going through, but guess what? We took all these little side roads. We got to the hotel in no time flat. And I'm thinking, Lord, forgive me. I was such a fool. I didn't follow the nav the first time. I could have avoided all that hassle and all that delay if I'd have just pushed the button. Well, in the same manner, you can do the same thing. You may have gotten off track. You may be out in the boonies someplace, stuck in a traffic jam. All you got to do is ask the Lord to forgive you and let Him lead you. He'll get you back to where you need to be. Are you with me? It's not that difficult. You know, the nice thing about my nav is if I miss a turn or something, it'll speak to you. It'll say, you have missed your turn. Would you like us to recalculate the route for you? And many times I've said, yes, please, let me get back to where I'm supposed to go. And if you're like me, you know, most guys, for whatever reason, it's a guy thing. We don't like to ask for directions. One time I was visiting my sister-in-law down in Tampa, Florida. And how many of you know that, you know, there are parts of neighborhoods in most major cities that you do your best to avoid? And so we were heading back to my sister-in-law's, and I made a wrong turn. And I'm driving up the street. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm too proud to say anything, you know. So finally I said, you know, I don't think we're going the right way. And Peggy says, well, why don't you stop and ask somebody? Well, I'm looking at this neighborhood. I'm like, I ain't stopping nowhere, Jack. You kidding me? These people, if they have any idea from out of town, you're liable to get jacked up. I ain't stopping nowhere. And you go by the convenience stores, and there are bars on the front door and all this stuff. I'm like, I said, I'll find it. I kept trying and trying. And Peggy said, would you just stop and ask somebody? I didn't have nav in this vehicle. So finally I stopped, pulled over, went into a gas station, left the motor running, you know, in case I had to run out. I said, excuse me, how do I get back to highway such and such? And the guy said, oh, that's easy. Just go down the end of the block and make a left turn. You run right into it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. So some of you may have gotten off a little bit. You're off course. You need to make an adjustment. You can do that today. Amen? Well, we'll pick this up next week. Would you stand with me, please?